You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to another episode of another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we're going to be recapping Season 2, Episode 4, titled Rumors of Vanderpump Rules, as well as diving into Season 5 of Lego Masters. As always, joined by my partner in crime here, Matthew Fox.
Doing good, you know, just building my takes one brick at a time for my new studio.
I like it. I like the new studio. I'm excited about it and excited to see what we have in store for us today. We have a lot of different things to talk about. And, you know, without further ado, let's just go right into our friendly neighbors at Sir. Vanderpump Rules Season 2, Episode 4, IMDb score 8.0. The synopsis of this episode: when Stassi finds out about Jax's sexy photo shoot with a female model, she questions whether she can trust him enough to ever love him again. I'm glad that was what the breaking point was. Just when Kristen's work life and love life appear to be back on track, Lisa brings in a sexy female bartender who may have a romantic past with Tom. This is the introduction of one of the main characters that we know moving forward, and we'll dive into that in a little bit. But first we're going to talk about the modeling shoot. I love Jax's opening here. When you aren't single and you're trying to get your girlfriend back, modeling isn't the greatest of things. The girl, I got a text message from Matt Fox, and it said, I'm trying to remember exactly what it said. Hang on, I'm just going to try to find it here about this exact moment. Damn it, I can't find it now. What did you say to me that was funny?
I know, it's been almost...
Oh, the tattoo is catnip for Jax. Who knew? Yeah, to me, like, she said, and I quote, "is so cute." Obviously, Jax loves the attention. We're not shocked by that at all, right? But I was quite impressed with his ability to not, you know, do more, honestly.
Which then he gets kind of railed on by her for doing the modeling shoot. I thought he was actually pretty remarkably respectful and restrained in everything we saw on the show, and that's part of the back and forth, I guess, that it feels like we're stuck in a toxic loop. I mean, I know he has felt like that, but so
this is my thing, okay? And I don't, again, we're watching this from the beginning. I understand where Jax is now and all the things that he might have done post episode 4. I feel bad for Jax in a way. I'm not saying that he has made the smartest decisions, okay? I'm not saying that by any stretch. I'm not saying that he even deserves another chance with Stassi. We all know how I feel about Stassi at the same time. I'm not a fan of Stassi right now. However, she is very much leading this man on.
Yeah, I feel like that for both of our main guys, Jax and Tom, they're in relationships that are not quite working, and it's not like they haven't done some things that are negative, but it just, when Jax constantly says he feels like he's getting mixed signals, you are. And so are we as an audience. You know, like episode two ended with this blowout fight. I'm like, well, thank God.
We were done.
At least it's over.
We were done.
And then continuing to go back and forth. And honestly, I understood at the ladies' lunch why Kristen was a little bit angry at Stassi for a double standard in relationships, because she does. You know, she calls out Kristen for a bunch of things that she's done that are even sketchier, probably. You know, make a decision. Do you want to be together or not? If you don't, then you need to, like, cut it off. What I can't tell is, like, are they, you know, sometimes in reality shows, they want to keep the drama going. So is...
But their parents are together, though, too, though.
Yeah, which...
So
also, okay, can we, I don't understand the having frank conversations about your sex life for the camera. Like, I don't come on this podcast and talk to you about every encounter I've had. And if you started to launch in me, I'd probably, you know, go Sheldon Cooper and have to go catatonic. Those guys know they're getting filmed. Both the guys and the girls, they have like a lunch gathering where they're just
spilling the tea on the sex life. Look, we did find out one big thing about Jax Taylor. He is in love with some BBW porn.
That was rough too.
Awesome. So again, I didn't know Jax wanted a sweater line. This was news to me. This is the first I've heard about this in a season and a half.
He doesn't seem fashionable either.
No. So. And she makes, that's the thing though. It's weird to me. Again, he's like a play toy to her. Mm. Cleaning the house. And she's like making him do all of these things to think that there's a chance, when in actuality, I think it's like you continuously are like, no, like there's no chance here. You know, exactly. He said he had a vision for his sweater line, which I laughed. Also, Jax saying it's water under the bridge. Like, watch what you say, man. Like, I just, you know. And to be honest with you, again, it's hard to give the cheater a benefit of the doubt line from Stassi. Really pissed me off, because it's like, then stop talking to him, period. Kristen, Tom, now we get to dive into this a little bit. I do love Jax. Nothing makes me laugh more than Jax giving relationship advice. It's hilarious to me. Tom's one-liner of "she pisses me off, but I love her" is a great line by Mr. Sandoval himself. I think that, you know, Tom is now buying cute things for the apartment and she's all about it. And then of course she says she's returning to work and needs money.
That's why she's returning.
That's why she's returning. And then of course the big news that we get here is the biggest thing of the entire episode is Ariana working at Severed, right? So there's a whole arc that we have in store for our future, which I genuinely don't know a whole lot about. So I'm happy that I don't, because like a lot of this is fresh for me. I don't really know a whole lot about Ariana. I know you know a little bit she was on Dancing with the Stars, right? She was the one on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, she was the one on Dancing with the Stars. So I know how her time on the show is going to end.
Yeah. So
but interesting. So we've seen her before. I think it was interesting. They noted she works at Lisa's other restaurant. Mm-hmm. Which might have been what got mentioned before. But a couple of things that stood out to me, she's good friends coming into the show with Sheena, which we haven't seen that many, but also good friends with Tom. And I thought their, you know, his training back and forth, Stassi and tried to make it seem like it was untoward, but I thought it was just kind of like fun banter.
Literally between colleagues. Friend banter is all I got from that entire
scene. And their preview for coming attraction certainly made it seem like these two had hooked up in the past, but they both adamantly deny that they ever did.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's like made a little manufacturing drama that maybe doesn't already exist. You're muted.
I love where Lisa says, if I had to fire everyone that didn't get along with Kristen, I wouldn't have no staff. I'm like, well, maybe fire Kristen? I don't know.
You know, what's interesting, though, is she talks about how difficult she is, but I seem to recall from, I think it was in the first season, where she talks about Kristen being a prickly personality, but really great at her job.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Jax obviously cannot, get himself out of starting shit, because he said he'll plead the fifth about the whole Tom and Ariana thing. But then, of course, he says, I haven't personally seen them have sex. But basically insinuating they have sex. I do love the line, just rumors, which makes me really happy whenever you hear the title of an episode in an episode. So that kind of made me happy, which wasn't really hard to say.
He's not a very good friend to Tom.
No, totally not.
He lied to Tom last year and let Tom go to bat for him in a huge way. And then he doesn't take Tom at his word. And I actually think he manufactured some of that.
Yeah, the whole rumor starts with him. The whole rumor started with him saying, hey, yeah, I know for a fact these two slept together. Obviously, Lisa tells Kristen about Ariana coming in. And then, of course, Kristen says to Lisa, there's not going to be any issues, which then we switch to the confessional where Kristen says she hates Ariana, will be working at Sir, which was hilarious. She said she needs to be the bigger person. Lisa said she's watching her and not going to give her another chance. Bullshit. Ariana and Sheena's conversation was definitely interesting. You can see that this is where I believe Ariana is a way better friend to Tom than Jax is to Tom. I don't really love the idea of making light of, Kristen, her bipolar, needs to get medication. She said the rumor of her and Tom, she's not going to address him. She said they've been friends since day one. Ariana had the lineup thing. I'm already going to spoil it. She was my MVP of this episode, but she's like, I'm smarter than you, cooler than you, prettier than you. Get the fuck over it. And to me, sure, there's going to be drama that is associated with Ariana, obviously. But to me, she felt like she was actually somebody coming in to wanting to do the job and not want to get involved in the drama. Obviously, being on the show, you're going to be involved with the drama. Also, her line of Tom is doing you a favor by dating you looks and personality-wise, another bomb-ass quote. Again, I'm not saying it's right. It's bullshit and just being mean. But I agree with you, though. Like, to me, that was one of the things that stood out to me. Like, they made such a – like, Stassi made such a big deal about the training aspect. It made no sense to me.
They're just not very mature. And part of me wonders if Stassi is constantly trying to stir up things in – Kristen and Tom's relationship to deflect off herself. And we saw that even going back to the first season, when they were on the modeling shoot, wanting to ask all these questions that Kristen didn't want to know about.
Yeah.
With Tom.
She pushed that girl. Yeah. Girl and Tom. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She pushed her over and over again.
And obviously there's just not enough to push with Katie to get her off balance. So maybe a soft time. Maybe it's just that Stassi and Jax are not good friends all the way around, because when Sheena tried to be a friend to Stassi, Stassi pretty well dropped her like it was hot. And Stassi quickly turned on Kristen and Katie last year. So I just think they're united in not being good friends.
Yeah, I totally agree. 1,000%. A lot of these people shouldn't be friends. Also, my favorite thing to do every week now is to text Matthew Fox a random quote from Tom Sandoval from the show. This week was, pits are awesome. They are the new thing. He was very confused by this comment, and I understand why.
I guess that wasn't one of the things that stood out to me when I was watching, but I think that was him and Jax going back and forth, right, talking about outfits.
Yeah.
I kind of tune that out. I have a lot of friends that are guys. I'm a guy for a long time. I don't call you up and ask you for fashion advice.
I wear hoodies 99% of the time. So
I think 95% of our communication is memes I find on the internet and fantasy football trades. The other 5% is Vanderpump quotes.
Exactly. Stassi is so gung-ho about gunning after Ariana. But I do think that you're right in saying that I feel like a lot of it stems from her not wanting the the full drama on her. She said, you brought a cheating whore into the restaurant. Shit's going to hit the fan.
No,
if you brought a cheating whore.
I mean, she pretty much dogmatically states that they've had an affair, but then says it, you know, because she is like, no, I believe my friend.
Yeah. Let's see here. And she
needs somebody like with the tooth falling out and breaking away. I mean, she needs somebody to.
Look, I love Sheena. So Sheena hasn't done anything to me yet. Sheena's, I think, the only one. No, Tom's still. I mean, we have Tom and Sheena, who's still really on my good side. And Ariana is like, she's like rising the ranks of the only ones that I like. That, again, Tom is on like standby still. Again, if Kristen can forgive Tom, which I'm not sure she has, I believe we as a collective world should forgive Tom right now as well. But that being said, I want you to obviously announce my MVP a little early. I want you to share with me your MVP of this week's episode.
Your MVP was Ariana?
Yeah, it had to be.
That's a real... There wasn't a lot of MVP-like...
outside of her, I really didn't think anybody was like...
Behavior.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Kind of a bad beat for, because we didn't get a lot of good comedy either. That was my struggle with this episode. There was a lot of cattiness and drama and not a lot of comedy. There were some people that had some decent moments, but I guess I'm going to go with Tom. I thought that bar training scene was, it's nice to have fun with your coworkers. I'm a fan of the good deadpan joke. He also tried to buy some nice things for his house. I'm not too down with the, your friend has barely sat down at a table in a public restaurant and you're talking about your sexual exploits. That gives me pause, but
everything else.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited for next week's episode of the Vanderpump Rules season 2, episode 5. I haven't really read too much into it. Not going to read too much into it. We're going to transition the back half of this episode to talk about the season 5 of Lego Masters. All right. Now, Lego Masters.
Are you a long time Lego Master?
This is the first time Lego. I have seen episodes of Lego Masters. I know my buddy here, Matthew Fox, is a big Lego Master guy. But yep. Season 5 kicked off with an incredible themed episode. Each week, Matthew Fox and I are going to recap Lego Masters on the back half of the Vanderpump Rules episodes. There's going to be other things sprinkled throughout the entirety of the episodes, but we're going to break down our thoughts. What we're going to talk about is the winners, our favorite builds, and then, of course, talk about who was eliminated and whether or not we agree, and maybe give you guys who we think could potentially be the early front runners. We have, I think it's, 11 teams, 2, 4, 6, yeah. 10, 11 teams, which is an odd number, but it is what it is.
They usually do that. It's because of how the eliminations and stuff are going to go.
All right. So obviously for me, I was kind of excited for the first episode. First episode is Star Wars theme IP. One of the most infamous, you know, IPs in all of the land, right? They had 10 hours to build a variation of their own world within here. One of the big twists in the episode was with 2 hours left, some stormtroopers came in, knocked out the clock. So they had to judge that final 2 hours of what they were going to be. They had to guess when the final 2 hours were up. Watching this episode, talk to me about some of your favorite builds within the episode.
You know, I was excited to have a Star Wars challenge, and actually Rebuild the Galaxy was a Lego Star Wars special on Disney. And I thought that's where they were going to go. And the theme of Rebuild the Galaxy was the blew apart traditional Star Wars sets and rebuilt them with a completely different mode, like the Millennium Falcon in that got rebuilt and they were bad guys. Essentially, you know, the bad guys were the good. And I thought, well, maybe they'll do something like that. This one, the blowing the top half off a planet and then building their own planet, a lot of them were, you know, just okay. And I think the first episode is always hard because they don't really have enough time to introduce you to all the pairs. So you get a sense from the few pairs that they're introducing you to that some of these guys are going to end up as the top and some, at least one of them is going to be the pair that goes home, because very rarely on the show have they bounced somebody that you don't get a feel for. So the real theme it felt like for this week was family. They have a ton of like family pairings, and I think right away I started getting White Lotus season 3 vibes from that one pairing of the siblings. Is it, I forget their,
isn't the one that Tina won, right?
No, they didn't win. The ones that won were the two brothers, the one that's
Ben and Michael. Was it Ben and Michael?
Yeah, Ben and Michael, who is a weightlifter. But no, the I have to, it's Ian and Sage. They are just the most awkward brother and sister. They were in the top two. And honestly, none of the builds totally stood out to me, but the two that they landed in the top two, I didn't think were that spectacular. I just don't think it was like a great week, and that's part of the problem. Like the two in the bottom two, I didn't have qualms with, because that is a consistent thing that Amy and Jamie have, is when you make your build too small and you have to get up close to see all the details. It's good if there are fun details when you're up close, but you should be able to see kind of a big, broad theme. And I think those two groups, you know, it was definitely siblings night, because the top two pairs were two brothers and a brother and sister. And then the one that got eliminated were also a brother and a sister. And I don't know I feel like the note given to the casting director for this season was, can you find the most awkward family groups possible to just litter this?
Because there's 7 of the 11 teams are brother, are siblings of some sort, mother, son, brothers.
Honestly, the one I liked the best were did not get chosen. It was he's a football coach and his friend is the band director. And I thought Anthony and Joe was really creative with the sports theming on one half and the band theming. And I don't know. I thought that one was fun. But you could tell, since they got interviewed a little bit, but they weren't a huge focus of the episode. And like that one team of friends from Pittsburgh did not get interviewed during the episode. So when they landed in the bottom two, I was like, they're definitely not the ones going home. It's the other two that we've met.
Seen. Yeah. And they made an adamant that we understood that Nick and Kendall, oh, we're huge Star Wars fans.
Big Will Arnett fans, too.
Big they got Will to Arnett him. Fans.
That mustache was a lot for me. Yeah. Arnett is fun in this. They usually have some fun themes, and they'll do more ambitious, fun things later on. But this, he talked about how this is like the most exceptional group they've ever had. And honestly, based on the first build, I heartily disagree, because last year, like, even in the first couple of episodes, some of the builds we were seeing blew my mind. And there was nothing in this one that really blew my mind. They were fine, but they weren't incredible. 10 hours is a pretty decent amount of time. When you get a little bit further, they'll be more in the 12 to 16 hour range. But there weren't a lot of twists other than they knocked out the clock. And I'm like, how will we ever know how much time we have? As soon as they knocked out the clock, I mean, you have a phone. Yeah. You have a. They may not let them have phones, but you probably have a watch.
Yeah,
but I thought it was a solid episode. It was fun.
Yeah, I'm excited because obviously they're going to do Wicked. They're doing Batman. Mm-hmm. They're doing a masquerade party. They're doing a cake.
Well, of course they're going to do Batman because Arnett was Lego Batman.
They're doing a colossal wedding cake build as well, masquerade party.
And they usually, you know, the episodes I always get excited about, there are usually ones where they're going to blow something up. Mm-hmm. And there are ones where they smash the build. And those are heartbreaking, but also pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Because you see these worlds and you want to see how intact they are. They usually have ones where they test the tensile strength, like how much weight it can hold. And that's usually amazing and fascinating. This was okay. Part of me feels like they wasted a top shelf theme on maybe not a top shelf project.
Yeah. For me, I didn't mind the two winners. It's funny that you, cause you even text me or whatever. And I was like, I was a big fan. The puppy plant thing, I just thought it was a cool idea. I thought it was kind of unique. And Ben and Michaels, I think their massive build is what really kind of made them stand out. It's just how big it was. Mm-hmm. I really like the assembly line on that one. The creativity to me, like the bottom two, did not shock me at all, right? Theirs were just...
The karaoke thing seemed like a fun idea, but as they were building it out, I'm like, this is too flat. It's too small. Yeah. It wasn't even dynamic colors.
Yeah. It wasn't either. I think that to me is the reason why. Because again, I do agree with you. Like, I was expecting more. And again, when you have this big Star Wars IP, you have a galaxy, and the possibilities, in my opinion, are endless when you think about Star Wars and building your own kind of galaxy of your own. I was kind of a little let down by a lot of the competitors, right? Some of the things we're watching is just not great. And but to me, wasn't surprised Nick and Kendall went home. I really didn't think that their build was all that wonderful. It's hilarious. I mean, you're going to have the story for the rest of time that you were eliminated on, you know, being big Star Wars fans and big Will Arnett fans. And you got 1 minute of time with the guy. But outside of that, I really did it. I do think that the future is looking prosperous for the other builds. The Wicked one, to me, has all the potential to be a fantastic episode just based on the world building that's within the film. You know what I mean? That's a lot. That's a big build. You know, that's a big world, and it can be very thought provoking in how you approach it too. So I'm kind of excited to see what the builders do with that realm.
And I think there's going to be builds from some of the people. They were more focusing on the family dynamics this one, but you know, our two friends that are the teachers, I had liked their idea, and I think they have a good dynamic. And our two friends from Texas, from Austin and Dallas, that did J2D, I think it was D3 or D7, where they had the R2-D2 C-3PO. And I liked that they were one of the few teams that you saw that was hanging it up in advance to see if it would balance weight-wise. Because one of the other builds that was really creative was misbalanced weight-wise. They put like a rocket to show that the planet was sinking to try to be funny. But you know, those are things you got to take into account. And when I see people, even if they don't succeed early on, when you see people starting to take some of those things into account or starting to put creative or daring things into their builds early on, it's usually a good sign for the future.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for those of you listening here, I have a conversation with both Amy and Jamie up on the, I interviewed both of them ahead of the show. Got to talk to them about what they, I love listening to their point of view from the perspective of a judging point of view. Like, what are you looking for? What stands out to you, like, right away? What kind of, what, and even talking to them about, like, what's watching it back? Do you feel like maybe you got it wrong? I do love how they cut sequences where it kind of shows you a build in such a unique and different way. But I'm excited to dive into this each and every week with you. I think that it's going to be fun. It's going to be different. Going from Vanderpump to Lego Masters is such a weird dynamic that only you and I can conquer together. So for those of you listening, you know, we like to change things up, mix things up. For those of you watching, before we get out of here, if you're not watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, you're really missing out on literally the best show on TV, period. I love that show so much. I've rewatched it. I watched the 10 episodes of season 2, and then I rewatched the first seven episodes all over again. If that's telling to you of whatever, whatever, so be it. I don't care. I love that show. It's drama. It's just the perfect reality TV show, and I'm obsessed. Yeah. Other than that, Matthew Fox is looking at me. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, he's looking at me, judging me right now. And that's perfectly okay.
Lindsay loves those. You know, she's watched every season of Sister Wives. That's just not always my bag, but
well,
if you're a sports enthusiast and also a fan of comedy, Welcome to Wrexham is back. I actually don't care about soccer. So I thought when this, much like Ted Lasso, the scripted version, when it came on, I was like, this is not going to be for me. I'm not going to care about it. But once it comes on, you're like, darn if I'm not drawn into it. They always have a lot of fun. I'm glad that season booted back up. So, you know, you got to find, that's the nice thing about reality. It is a wide swath that allows you to pursue your interests.
It is. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot of shows coming out, a lot of different stuff. Destination X starts next week, 527. Love Island's returning on 6/3. We've got Sneaky Links kicking off on Netflix on 521. Below Deck is coming back on 6/2. The Snake coming 6/10. Next Gen NYC is coming on 6/3. Lots of good content coming you guys' way. We're going to cover it here. We'll be back next week talking Vanderpump Rules Season 2, Episode 5, and then Lego Masters Season 5, Episode 2, and then of course talking about some of the other things that we're breaking down each and every week. Saying Vanderpump and Lego Masters in the same sentence is nothing that's going to continue to never get old because it sounds funny. So Vanderpump Lego Masters. Maybe that should be a season of Vanderpump. We just have all the people from Vanderpump go on Lego Masters and have to build Legos. I would watch that show. But that being said, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Can you imagine what the builds would be like?
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm here for it. But, you know, thank you guys so much for tuning in.
No, they have to be paired. So you take everyone who's ever appeared on Vanderpump Rules, Vanderpump Villa, and The Valley.
Put Frank and Jax together.
Put some ex-spouses together.
I want Frank and Jax together.
Could you imagine, like, Michelle and Jesse have to build Legos over the course of 10 hours?
Oh, my God.
And they have to do it without shoving a brick somewhere where it can't be seen.
Look, we just came up with, I'm telling you, you're telling me people wouldn't watch that? I know damn well. I would be seated, all right?
You and I could run Bravo at this point.
We could. I genuinely think that we need Bravo. Call us, man. We've got great ideas here. Just call us. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on. This is flying off the rails. But thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of Love Reality Podcast. We'll be back next week.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta have it wish list and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.